have a pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan and Sefer Devarim where the pasuk teaches us, Re'ei limadati aschem chukim u'mishpatim, kasher tzivani Hashem elokai, la'asos kem bekerav ha'aretz asher atem ba'im shama l'rishto. So the beginning of the pasuk is a very important part of the pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, see how I have taught you everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me, everything that God has taught me, I have also transmitted it the same way he taught it to me, I gave it over to you. And the Rishonim there explained that the simple understanding of the pasuk is that you should see, I have not changed anything, I gave it over exactly the way it was given to me, I didn't make any of the Torah up, I didn't make any of the mitzvahs up, everything was given the way it was given to me, it was also transmitted to you. So that is the basic understanding of the pasuk. However, the Gemara takes this very simple pasuk and learns a very different halacha, which is not the simple understanding of the pasuk. The Gemara learns a halacha from this pasuk as well. Says the Gemara in Bechoros Daf Chavtes, Hanotos Schar Ladon. If somebody is serving as a dayan, serving as a judge on a din Torah, and he takes money, he accepts money for the service that he's providing to the community, Dinav B'Telem. We assume that all the dinei Torah that you have been involved in are batel, they're null and void. Lahayid, let's say you call somebody in to give testimony on a particular case. And not that one of the parties pays him off, but we pay him for being an aide. Not that he's biased or he's not being honest in the case, but we pay him for serving as an aide. So the Gemara says, hey, dusa v'telem, we consider that to be null and void. Your aidus is not considered valid at all. And ask the Gemara, minahani mili, why should that be the case? How do I know that if someone gets paid to be a dayan or somebody gets paid to be an aide to serve as a witness on a din Torah, how do you know that we disqualify that edus? How do you know that we disqualify your din Torah? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Krah, because the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Re'ei limadati aschem. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam taught me, so too I taught you. And the Gemara learns, Ma'ani b'chinam, just like God didn't charge me, Moshe Rabbeinu, to learn from him, Afata b'chinam, so too when you are teaching Torah to others, so too when you are performing a mitzvah for somebody else, you also should not charge for the performance of that act. So that's what the Gemara learns from this pasuk here by Moshe Rabbeinu, that it's not only to be understood on the simple level that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us unadulterated Torah the same way it was taught to him, but the Gemara assumes that it also means that the same way Moshe Rabbeinu was taught Bechinam, he wasn't charged by the Ribbono Shel Olam, so too Afata Bechinam, so too we have to be able to teach Torah Bechinam without charging. And this is quoted, surprisingly, Lahalachan Shulchan Aruch, in Yaradeya Hilchos Tamat Torah Siman Reish Mem Vav, that a person is not allowed to charge money to teach Torah. The Gemara right away gives two qualifications and two limitations, I guess, for this halacha. The Gemara says, a machlokas, when we assume this applies and when it doesn't, but off the bat, the Gemara says that Rav Amar, schar shimur, you're allowed to charge, which means if a person is only being paid to chaperone, meaning you're being put in a classroom with a bunch of little kids who don't know how to behave, and you have to take care of all the discipline, and you're the one who's babysitting, so to speak, even though, yes, you're teaching them along the way as well, and you're also hired to be a teacher, but since a lot of what you're doing is also going to be a payment for keeping the decorum of the classroom and keeping the kids under control, therefore the Gemara says in a case like that, you would be allowed to accept money because that's not considered taking money for Libud HaTorah. That's considered taking money for watching, for babysitting over young children. So that's one opinion the Gemara has. Then the Gemara says, interestingly, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Schar Pisuk Tamim, which means, if I go ahead and I teach people how to lane from a Sefer Torah, if I go ahead and I have a classroom and I teach them how to do the trup in a Sefer Torah, that, says the Gemara, also I would be allowed to charge money for. Why? Why are you allowed to charge money for that? Why is that any different than teaching any other Torah? What's so unique, what's so special, what's so different about teaching someone the melody of how to read the Sefer Torah or the trup? Why is that different than any other area of Torah? So the Gemara seems to say that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan assumes one is allowed to charge money for teaching the trup on a Sefer Torah is because that's not really considered a mitzvah midaraisa. That's something that was only instituted midarabanan. The incantation was only put in later on, and therefore he says that would not be considered a violation of chukim u'mishpatim. The pasuk says you have to be able to teach chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani ha'malokai. Those have to be taught for free. Over here, the Gemara assumes that that's not considered part of chukim u'mishpatim because that is not a mitzvah midaraisa. However, Rav in the Gemara disagrees, and seemingly the reason why he disagrees is because he feels that the trup on the Sefer Torah is not just the din derabanan that was added later on, it's because he feels that that was something that was instituted originally. That's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that's a din derabanan like any other din derabanan, and therefore, the same way I'm not supposed to charge money for teaching any area of Torah, so too I'm not supposed to charge money for teaching this area of the trup in how to read the Sefer Torah either. That would fall under the same guideline. That's what the Gemara assumes. Now, what clearly emerges from the Gemara is that when you're teaching something which is only midrabanan, we would assume that there's no reason why you cannot be able to accept money for that. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Just the machlokas in the Gemara is the trap on the Sefer Torah considered a dindarabanan, or is it considered a dindaraisa? But if you assume it's a dindarabanan, it would seem to emerge from the Gemara that one would be allowed to charge for such a thing, because that does not fall under the category, under the rubric of chukim u'mishpatim that we're describing here in the pasuk. Now, the Hagos Maimini takes it a giant step further, and he says, well, mikan medaktik rabbeinu simcha, tikol chidushei sofrim, any dindarabanan, all the Gemaras, all the Mishnayos that we know of, Mutter likach schar meham. So if I'm there to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva, how often am I teaching only a pasuk in Chumash? Almost never. Most of the time I'm teaching Gemara, Halacha, Mishnayis, something that's not only stated in the Torah itself. Here says the Hagos Maimini, it would seem from Rabbeinu Simcha, that based on the understanding of the Gemara, any time I have not only a dindarabbanan, but any time I have a Gemara, a Mishnayis, a Halacha, or something that is not a strict reading of a pasuk in Chumash, we would assume one would be allowed to accept money for teaching such a subject. And that's a very surprising statement, but the Ramah quotes it nonetheless. The Ramah Hilchos Talmud Torah quotes this halacha, and he says, Kol chidushei sofrim dehainu masha niskan midrabanan. If you're teaching anything that's a takana midrabanan, mutter litol schar lelamdo. I'm allowed to accept payment. If I'm teaching Hilchos Chanukah, Hilchos Purim, I can accept a check for teaching such a halacha. However, if I'm teaching the halachas of Shiloh HaKein, which is deraisa, I wouldn't be able to do such a thing. That's what the Ramah seems to say. Now, this is a very surprising Ramah. It's a very surprising Hagos Maimini, because, first of all, the Karanara asks, don't we know that all the Rabbanans somehow fall under the category of Dinim Daraisa? Don't we know that the Gemara tells us that all the Rabbanans fall under the category of Los Sasser? And therefore, ask the Karanara on that Gemara in Bechoris, if you assume that every Dinder Rabbanan can be subsumed under the category of Los Sasser, then they should also fit under the category of Chukim u'mishpatim. And the same way the Torah says you're not allowed to charge money for chukim u'mishpatim for teaching the Torah, so too you're not allowed to charge money for teaching a dindar rabbanan either. So how do you understand what the Gemara seems to say, and how the Hagos Maimini and the Ramah extrapolate this from the Gemara itself? That's the question number one. I did see that Rav Soloveitchik also was bothered by the Karanara. He doesn't quote that the Karanara has the question, because he didn't see it, but Rav Soloveitchik writes as follows. Rav Soloveitchik says that it's obvious to him that even Dinim Derabanan, that even when we study, let's say, the whole sugya about Neiros Chanukah, what are you going to say? That's not a Chefzo Shel Torah? So listen what Rav Soloveitchik says. V'achinami nirali le'inin Dinim Derabanan. Da'atu neima, would anyone in their right mind say, Shekol halomed mesechas brachos and Megillah? The whole mesech de brachos is talking about Dinim Derabanan, basically. Besides for the Kriya Shema, but basically it talks about how to make a bracha on certain things, and when you're supposed to make a bracha and when not. So what are you going to tell me? If I learn Maseches Brachos, or if I learn Megillah, which is about Mikra Megillah, which is a mitzvah midrabanan, it's not a mitzvah daraisa. So if a person sits down and learns hours and hours every day, Brachos and Megillah for the rest of your life, you're going to tell me that over Huba Isr Bitul Torah midaraisa, you're going to tell me that I'm being Mevatul Torah? The Torah says, V'higisa v'yoma v'layla. You have to learn Torah every free moment of your life. So here I am, I sit down every night of the week, and I learn Brachos and Megillah, and what, the Torah is going to say it's as if that doesn't count? That's as if it's considered Bittul Torah Midaraisa. Why? Because on a level of Torah itself, on a level of Daraisa, you haven't studied anything? How can I say such a thing? Rak Midrabanan Yishbiyad Mitzvah Talmud Torah, what are you going to tell me? Only Midrabanan I fulfilled the din of Talmud Torah, but Midaraisa I was Mevatul Torah. Rak Halom Mitzvachim Menachos Hadanim Berov Ruba Medinim Daraisa Mekayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah Daraisa, what are you going to tell me? I have to spend my whole life learning Zvachim Menachos, which only delve into how to read Psukim and how to Darshan a Pasuk. Anything else I learn that's only about Dinim Derabanan is considered like I'm Mevatul Torah Midaraisa. How can that be? Lo nitin lehiyamar kidvar ma'ela. It's impossible. That's preposterous. How can you say such a thing? That if I learn mesechtas, which talk about mitzvahs derabanan, that's considered like I was mevatel Torah? That's ridiculous. How can you say that? Ela vaday tzarach lomar. Therefore he says, da'af tebevaday choves hagavra benogei lechol dinim derabanan ach midrabanan hu. Yes, it's true that my obligation of lighting Chanukah candles is only midrabanan. And my obligation of going ahead and reading the Megillah on Purim is only midrabanan. That might be true. However, he says, Mikal makom, etzem halachos, the halachos themselves, even though it's only a din derabanan, but the halachos themselves, la'achar shenigzeru v'huskenu aidei hachamim, once they became incorporated into the Torah system by whatever generation of rabbis made up that we should light Neres Chanukah or we should lay in the Megillah, nefchu lios chelek shel Torah shebal peh midaraisa. We assume that now that turns into a part of the Torah itself. And therefore, if a person sits at night and they learn brachos or Megillah, which talk at all the details of the Din Derabanan, it's considered as if I fulfilled a mitzvah midaraisa of Talmud Torah. How can you say I was like it's like I was mevatel Torah? It's impossible. How can you say such a thing? And therefore, if Soloveitchik argues, v'chalalome behem, bevadei mekayim b'limudo mitzvahs Talmud Torah af midaraisa. And over here, he writes the same thing. He cannot understand how is it possible to even suggest that a person is not allowed to charge money when they teach real Torah. However, you're going to tell me when they teach a Gemara, which doesn't really have drushas from Sukkim, you're going to tell me that for that they are allowed to charge money? Because that's not considered part of the category of Chukim u'Mishpatim, that's not considered a part of the Torah? Well, if that's really true, then it should be considered Bittul Torah if you go and learn such parts of the Torah. And that would be ridiculous of an assumption. So that's from Soloveitchik's question, which is very similar to what the Karen Ora asked on that Gemara as well. So now, if you assume the way they're understanding, not like the Rabban, not like the Hagos Maimini, if you're assuming the way they say that every time a person delves into a Din Derabanan, it's as if you are learning an actual Din D'Oraisa as well, and every time I involve myself in a Din Derabanan, I have to follow the same guidelines of teaching a Din D'Oraisa as well, and I wouldn't be allowed to charge, so how do you understand the original Gemara? The Gemara says that when a person is teaching Pisuk Ta'amim, when a person is teaching the trup on the Sefer Torah, you're allowed to charge money for such a thing. Why are you allowed to charge money? The Gemara seems to say the reason why you're allowed to charge money is because that's only the Rabbanon. That's not a real halacha Moshe Misina. That's not really part of the Torah. That was added later. And that's why you're allowed to charge, because it doesn't fall under the category of chukim u'mishpatim, which have to be taught, bechinam, which have to be taught for free. So how do you understand that Gemara? The Gemara seems to indicate not so. So I think the answer perhaps can be based on a Chasam Sofer there. The Chasam Sofer writes in his Chidushim on that Gemara, Chasam Sofer says that our obligation to teach Torah and lalami bechinam, to teach for free, is only on HaTorah Chukeha U'Mishpateha. We have an obligation to teach the Torah, all the laws of the Torah, every detail of the Torah, every halacha anyone's ever going to have to know. V'chal dinei HaTorah Shiyah Baki Behem K'Shulchan Aruch. I have to make sure that I teach to the maximum, as much as I possibly can, the Torah to the people in order that they will know how to keep the Torah, how to live their lives by the laws of the Torah. However, he says, Aval eino tzarech lalamid ech yikra ha-pasuk. If somebody doesn't know how to learn from a Sefer Torah, they still can be a wonderful Jew the rest of their lives. That's not going to hold them back from fulfilling any mitzvah in the Torah. Okay, so you don't know how to read the Torah when you get an aliyah, but you know all the halachas regardless, so why should it matter? Therefore, maybe the Chasam Sofer says, maybe this is why the Gemara says one is allowed to charge for teaching somebody how to read from the Sefer Torah. Because when the Torah tells me you're not allowed to charge somebody for teaching Chukim u'Mishpatim, that means when I'm teaching somebody how to live life, a Torah lifestyle, that you're not allowed to charge for. However, if I'm teaching somebody something that's outside of that category, for example, how to learn from the Sefer Torah is not really fitting into how I'm going to live my life. In a case like that, the Chasam Sofer writes that I would be allowed to charge for such a thing. Yeah? Yeah, so that's a good question. So how do you read it into the Gemara? That the Chasam Sofer has a long piece there to try to figure out, well, how do I fit this back in? The Gemara seems to indicate not exactly so, which is a very good question. So then the question goes a little bit further. And, I mean, number one, the obvious question is, how do you ever pay a rabbi, or how do you ever pay a teacher, which we'll get to maybe tomorrow. But the question here is a more fundamental question. The Sefer Chassidim writes very famously that somebody who has a revelation in Torah, somebody who God gave you some sort of chiddush that nobody ever thought of, Sefer Chassidim writes that if a person chooses not to write it, if a person chooses not to share that with the world, that is considered hare gozo misha gidolo. That's as if you're stealing from God. God didn't give you the chiddush for yourself. He gave it to you that you should disseminate it. You should share it with the world. He gave you something special. You have to give it over to other people. You cannot hoard it for yourself. So we have this idea of writing chiddush Torah. And this is something why we have so many svarim nowadays, because the Sefer Chassidim writes, this is something that a person should be careful about. If you were blessed with a chiddush, you have to share it with everybody else. The Stechemed questions why there were so many gedolim that didn't. He writes that the Chasam Sofer felt he didn't have to write his chiddushim because he remembered anything. He was a genius, he never forgot anything, so he didn't feel the need to write. So the Stechemed asks, well, what does that help? It's very nice that you're a genius and you're not going to forget, but what about the rest of us who aren't so smart? I'm not going to remember everything the Chasam Sofer said in Shir, so shouldn't he have an obligation to write it as well? So the truth is, in the Hagdama to the Chasam Sofer's Tshuvas, one of the children writes the following in the name of his father. The father says, "Lo yadati hachiyuv lahadfis ulefazer dvarai berabim." I don't know why I have an obligation to go ahead and print my svarim for the masses. I'm giving shiurim. As long as God will give me life and give me strength, I'm ready to get up and give a shiur anywhere, anytime, to any congregation, to any community, as long as I have the strength to do that. I will never stop and I will never charge for it, because this is what I was put in the world to do. I was put in the world to go ahead and teach Torah. Anyone who sends me a letter with a shayla, I will respond to them. I will not charge for that, because that's what my obligation is. However, he says, to go ahead and write down svarim as well, that's not part of my obligation. That's not what I have to do. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer defends himself and says, there is no reason for me to go ahead and waste my time, so to speak, writing down my chidushim, writing down my svarim, and going ahead and doing that. So let's say a person does go ahead and write a sefer. So do we assume he has to go on the streets and give out the sefer for free? The same way I have to teach Torah for free, I also have to give out the svarim for free, because that's part of my harbatzas Torah. And the same way you're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah, you shouldn't be allowed to charge for printing the sefer either. So according to the way the Chasam Sofer understands, that my obligation of teaching Torah stops at just teaching, and I don't have to go above and beyond and print my sefer Torah as well. I don't have to print my chidushe Torah. You would assume that if a person does print a sefer, they are allowed to charge for it, because again, that's above and beyond the obligation that anybody has. However, my father likes the quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Hakdama to the Dibros Moshe, where he writes that we have an obligation which is a dual obligation. Lilmod ulilamed means to learn and to teach. So says Rav Moshe, the same way I have an obligation, lilmod to the max, to learn as much as I possibly can in my life, so to my obligation, the secondary obligation of lilamed is also to the max. It's to teach as much as I possibly can. Not just to have the people in your own immediate vicinity listening to you. You have an obligation, if you know that you can teach on a greater level to more people and reach more people and inspire more people, your obligation of lilamed has not been fulfilled yet. And therefore, Moshe says that's why he's writing his svarim. Because yes, I have a very small shiur in the yeshiva, Moshe said. However, my obligation of lilamed is to disseminate my chidushe Torah even further, to spread them out more. That's part of my obligation of lilamed. Based on that, I was wondering, well then, why are we allowed to charge for a sefer? Same way that Talmud Chacham is not allowed to charge for giving a shiur for teaching Torah. If Rav Moshe believes that writing a sefer is the same as teaching my Torah, that's a part of, it's an extension of my obligation of lilamed, then why should I be allowed to charge? I should have to be able to give that out for free, because everybody has to learn all the chidushim that I have to offer. That should be what would emerge. Now, there is a fascinating comment, with this we'll close, that the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, writes, which is subject to a major debate. It's quoted in the Stechemet, and he quotes that the Shalom Eishev and others disagreed with it and didn't like it. But Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish says that what you see from this whole Gemara of Ma'ani Bechinam, why is a person not allowed to charge for teaching Torah? Why not? Why is that not like any other profession? So says Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, the reason why is because there is nobody who can say the Torah belongs to me. Nobody can say, just because I'm a great Talmud Chacham, therefore the Torah is mine. Therefore, says the Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, what right do you have to charge somebody else for the Torah that you know? It's not yours in the first place. You don't own it. Nobody is the owner of the Torah. Therefore, you have an obligation to give it over free of charge, because it's not something that belongs to you. And therefore, he suggests that even if you have somebody who gives a shiur, and there's somebody in the audience who enjoys it so much and decides, you know what, I'm going to make a quick buck. I'm going to write up everything that the rabbi said. I'm going to go ahead and sell it in the streets, and I'm going to make money off him. So do we have a right to do that or not? Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish says, absolutely. Why? Because it didn't belong to him in the first place. It doesn't belong to the rabbi. Yeah, he gave the shiur. He's the one who prepared it. But so what? It didn't belong to him. So anybody who wants to go ahead and publish everything that they hear from somebody else is allowed to do that. Why? Because the Torah doesn't belong to them. And the Stechemet writes, how can you assume such a thing? What do you mean? I not only am the one who's disseminating the Torah, but I worked hard on it. I'm the one who put everything together. I had my own chidushim. You're going to tell me you're allowed to go ahead and steal everything that I worked hard for and sell it to the masses, sell it to the public? How can you even assert such a thing? But that's an interesting discussion that also emerges from this Gemara, where the Gemara says that you have to teach Torah Bechinam. How far do we take that? Does that mean that Bechinam also suggests that it doesn't belong to me at all, and therefore anyone's allowed to go ahead and steal everything I say and write it and publish and sell it? Or do we assume, no, that that's not part of what the Gemara meant to say? And all the Gemara meant to say was that when I go ahead and teach Torah, I'm not allowed to charge for the Torah that I'm teaching. We'll continue tomorrow with some more details of this very important halacha.